flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being
Tuesday.
With us. Nice to be on right off the top as well. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
It was Andy, man. Yeah, dog. It's we here on time and all that other stuff. I had to make sure again.
We were on time yesterday.
But I had to make sure again. I'm in the studio today, right?
I know, me too. I was second-guessing myself.
I was second-guessing the hell out of myself. But, yeah, I made my way down here. And it seems like everybody in Colony Square is working today.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually I will, if I got to park on the third level, it'll be on the first side. I was all the way in. I'm all the way in the back on the blue level. So it seems like everybody is back to work over here.
Everyone was going to Midtown because everyone was on 75.
Yeah, man.
And they were all getting off on the Midtown exits. I don't know what's going on down here today.
Right.
Must be something.
You got to be something because, I mean, this place was it's never like this, man. But, yeah, we are up in the house on a Tuesday We could talk about last night's Hawks game.
There's not a ton to say, I can't get worked up about it.
The Timberwolves should be ashamed of themselves. They only won by eight.
Two big takes. I have two big takes from last night.
Right.
And that's the first one.
Yes.
Like the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we've said this throughout the year and played them earlier and seen them on national TV a little bit. They got problems.
Yeah, man.
And
they have not adjusted without Kat yet.
Yeah.
Julius Randle does not fit.
No. He doesn't. And I don't know where he fits, really, as far as, good teams go. It's never good when you get hurt and then your team goes on a great run without you, the Knicks did last year, and then you become imminently tradable. He's I love him because he's been the same the whole time.
Yes.
He hasn't adjusted his game at all.
None.
He's if you pass Julius Randle the ball in the half court,
he's going to shoot.
He's either going to shoot it or he's going to dribble it too long to where he has to throw you a terrible pass with about 4 seconds left on there. The only pass Julius Randle makes is a kick out to somebody about 35 feet from the hoop, and then they have to try to figure out what to do 3 seconds left on the shot clock.
Right.
That's the only pass he makes.
Yes.
We called it a hospital ball back in the day when we played. All right, cool. Thanks for doing that. Or he's going to shoot it. And he had 20 points last night, so I guess he played okay. But, yeah, they've asked Anthony Edwards to completely change his game, which I think is a huge mistake. Maybe it'll pay dividends. He'll be healthier when the playoffs come around. But what's your seed going to be? Asking Anthony Edwards to just take step-back threes is having a Ferrari and driving it in the right lane.
It's just amazing to me that, how they just completely falling the way they have.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest part is losing Kat. As much as we make fun of him.
No, I think
he's a damn good player.
He stretches the floor.
He's a damn
obviously,
good
he is. He said it, so we kind of make fun of him for saying it. But he really is one of the best shooting big men in the history. He really is a great shooting big man, for sure. But I don't know. Definitely, that's a huge part of it for sure. And you lose a talented player like that. They don't lose him; they traded him.
Yeah.
And Dante DiVincenzo's been hurt, so he hasn't been able to help. And Julius Randle doesn't fit. But yeah, I just can't. I can't help but come back to you got one of the most dynamic, young, athletic, competitive, wants to rip your heart out players in the NBA that we've had in years. and you're asking him to just dribble around 30 feet from the hoop and take step back.
He has, but he leads the league in attempts and makes, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah. And he can do it. Yeah. But I just think it changes the composition of who he is as a player.
Right.
Like, the thing that he has, I think, that kind of separates him, we talked about this last year in the playoffs. Like, I think one of the things that separates him from his contemporaries is he's a killer.
Yeah.
Like, but it's hard to ignite that when you're just taking, you get bumped. And you get an and one, you get fired up in the second quarter. Now all of a sudden you want to kill everybody. I just feel like you're taking away some of the ignition, some of the fuel for the fire that leads to Anthony Edwards being one of the most dynamic players in the league. Again, that's just, I don't know. I get it. It's the league. He's good at it. He makes a lot of threes. I mean, he can do it, but it just feels, just because he can do it doesn't seem to make it a good idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
He was dominant the way that he was playing.
Right.
And then you're like, you know what we should do is change that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, without Cat, did they make it? I don't know. But the NBA's a weird place. I saw last night.
Houston. Weird place.
Watch them damn. Because first of all, Houston, they got talent. They got young, athletic dogs. And they got a dog for a damn coach. And they went in Boston last night and got the dub last night. So that's why when you look at this team here in Atlanta,
if you want to see the Rockets
fall back.
You want to see the Rockets in person, you can tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
makeup game.
That's what I'm saying. These dudes are like some young bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a coach who's a bull. And they are, I think, number two. I mean, they ain't backing down from nobody. And my biggest surprise to me about this team is how they play as a team. You know what I mean? Like, they got these, you know how this young AAU culture is. These dudes, and that was going to be my thought process with the Houston Rockets the whole time, was like, but these dudes share the basketball. I mean, Jalen Green, he is a monster. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the right amount of mixture of veterans in there. Obviously, we make fun of Dylan, but I mean, this dude hit 10 threes last night.
Yeah, I mean, make fun of him all you want.
Yeah.
He's a key player on good teams.
Yes.
Like, he's been on good teams pretty much his whole career.
Yeah, and so now you got him coming in here. Don't know who's going to play tonight. Was that did they get rested last night so they can play tonight?
Well, everybody had different stuff.
some
people are sick. Some people have shoulder problems, some people, whatever. Yeah, like, it's a whole laundry list of reasons why guys didn't play last night. But the guys that didn't play last night were very important. Trey didn't play.
Yes.
Bogey didn't play.
Yes.
Dyson Daniels didn't play. Jalen Johnson didn't play. We still don't know.
Yeah.
Like, there was sort of like a, I don't want to say mysterious because they probably don't know either, but not really like a helpful email press release that went out over the weekend about Jalen. It's like, yeah, we'll evaluate it and hopefully we'll know soon.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
That's what I'm saying. Like, did they rest them last night up there?
I don't
think so. They could all come back and play tonight against Houston.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope so.
I hope so, too, because they're going to get
What would the point of that be?
I don't know.
You know?
I got to think of something, man. I don't know, because I think if that team that was up there last night comes to play that Houston team that beat Boston last night, they might get throttled.
They might.
Might get throttled tonight.
They might. Yeah, I mean, again, if you're going to be starting, and no offense to these guys, but it's true. If you're going to be starting David Roddy and Keaton Wallace and Veet Krejci, and that's kind of what your main rotation is, then you're going to lose a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. I mean, the Hawks have lost 5 games in a row right now, and the majority of that is because guys haven't been available. My second big take of the game last night was DeAndre Hunter's playing so good.
Yes.
Like, he's just... And I think a lot of credit goes for sure to him for being talented and doing it. But for Quinn Snyder just coming in and being like, all right, man, here's the 3 things you do. Do them.
Yep.
Don't do anything else.
Yep.
Because remember, like, before he would try to dribble and do all kinds of stuff?
Like, ISO player.
If DeAndre Hunter dribbles the ball more than 3 times, it's probably not going to be a good possession.
Catch and shoot it.
But if he catches and shoots it, great. If he's not, if he's guarded and he pump fakes and takes those 2 hard dribbles right to the elbow, he's so money from right there. He's so good in that mid-range. And when he gets into it in rhythm, and then he can finish at the rim pretty good too. Damn near dunked on Rudy Gobert last night. Had him in isolation, crossed him over, and tried to dunk on him 2-handed. Like, that's a jerk move. Like that. I like DeAndre, because that's something that we hadn't really seen either, like really aggressive play from him.
You still want to trade him?
Yeah,
okay.
100%. I would trade him today. Like, he had his career high last night. Trade him. Trade him while he's hot. Do it immediately. But, yeah, I mean, thank God you had him last night.
Yeah,
otherwise, you probably would have lost by 30.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what I was saying. That's why I'm like, who was out there? Timberwolves should be ashamed. Now, it was good to see Richey back.
Yep.
Obviously,
but, all right.
you want to get the first overall pick. I just wanted him to be like more aggressive last night because everybody else was gone. You know what I mean? And you're out there.
Yes. That is a word, you know what I mean? Just, that I would not use to describe him
at all. At all. But yeah. you would think, you're like, okay, Trey's out. You know, everybody's out tonight. Let me go and be just aggressive just because I can be. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to sit in the corner and wait for Trey to create
or anything like that. We
took 13 shots. I need to be more than that.
No, I know what you mean, though. Like more. The shots that he takes are always within the flow, which is fine. He's a rookie, and he's kind of trying to play his role.
Go get the damn ball.
But I think that works when you have those guys playing,
right?
Trey and Jalen and Daniels and all these guys are available. He's the guy in the starting lineup last night. Like, when you're the guy, call for the ball. Try to create something off the dribble. Take a step back. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do something dumb. Like, there's no bad shot when no one's playing.
No.
This is a thing as a bad
no,
shot
there
last night.
It's like, okay, well, all the other guys are out.
Yeah.
I'm usually fourth. These guys are gone, so maybe I'm first or second.
Yeah.
Let me go.
Yeah. Let me get some, like, contested looks up, you know? Let me dribble around a little bit on the perimeter and, you know, let me see what my James Harden step back looks like.
But that's something else. Hopefully that comes with more and more experience.
Yeah,
and
I hope
more
so.
And more of those
I hope so.
Like
they're going to have to instill that in him.
He's
it is
gotta,
not in
because
him.
You're the number one overall pick, young man.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Even in the games this year where he's played well, remember he had that game earlier in the year where he scored 30-something, whatever.
Right.
He hit like 25 in the first half.
Yes.
And then just kind of disappeared into the corner in the second half. And it's like, all right. Like, when you got it going,
you got to keep going.
Demand the basketball.
Yeah, it ain't no friends. And your teammates, like, okay, he got it going. Let's keep giving him the ball until he does it.
Yeah,
do some damn heat checks.
He seems like a very friendly, passive young man.
Oh, man.
Which
I got 20.
What you're looking for.
No, he don't clap his head. Woo, woo, woo. No. Do that.
Yeah.
When you got it going,
get some Julius Randle in you.
Get you some damn heat checks.
Get some Julius Randle. Just give me the ball and get the hell out of the way. Sorry, it's going to be a bad shot.
Yeah,
but
you know what?
Shouldn't have passed it to me.
Exactly, but I'm talking about the Heat. We talked about yesterday. Jimmy Butler suspended indefinitely. They say it's going to be like six until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get traded.
Yeah,
he might not get to go where he wants to go.
They got
to
do it.
But he's going to be traded somewhere.
He walked out of a shoot around yesterday because he found out he wasn't going to be in the starting
lineup.
That
was a blank move by Pat Riley and them to do that at the shoot around.
Well, they're both being jerks.
Yeah, exactly. But he knew that Jimmy was going to leave.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's why
he did it in front of his teammates.
And then Jimmy did it.
Jimmy's like, okay, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll leave that
back. Yeah, so they're kind of playing like jerk chess. And Jimmy's losing.
Yeah. But the thing about it is Jimmy's going to get what he ultimately wants. He wants to be traded. All right. And obviously there's a specific team he wants to be traded to, but there's a reason why. It's because somebody, won't waive a no trade clause and all that other stuff like that. That's the story and everything like that. So, but like, he just wants to be out of Miami.
Yes, he does.
And so you're like,
it's too bad because, I mean, we can, there's a variety of ways you can take this conversation and people have and they will, but it's like, for me, it's just like the Jimmy Butler time in Miami was pretty great.
I mean,
like, they didn't win any championships, so I guess ultimately, by the standard of today, it was a failure. But he played some incredible basketball. I mean, Heat culture, quote unquote, all that, absolutely represented by him. He played amazing in the playoffs, went to two NBA finals, and it was just a really cool story with him there.
Playoff Jimmy's the real thing.
And it's a shame that this is how it ends, because now this is what people are going to remember.
But nobody's surprised by it.
No.
Nobody's surprised, given how Pat Riley is, first of all.
Like, well, and how it's ended
everywhere you go. But I kind of figured that when that clip came out about what Jimmy was saying, about if I was here and all those different things, and the first thing I thought, I was like, oh, Pat's not going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, maybe a week later, Pat addressed it.
I think that.
And then when Pat said,
started last year when Jimmy showed up looking like Good Charlotte.
That could be it.
To photo day.
But,
and Pat
but,
was
but
like,
I still believe
what are we
that,
doing?
But I still.
That, joking around?
That comment that Pat said at the press conference.
Definitely.
And the fact that he told Jimmy that he wasn't going to give him the contract. Mm-hmm. I still think if Pat gave Jimmy the extension, everything would be fine. But Pat's like, nah.
Yeah, and I mean, no offense to Jimmy, but you can't give. I'm not giving you a max now. You're 36.
Nah.
We're not doing that.
Nah.
Now, we'd like it if you'd play, though.
You play, then we'll okay. Think about it. That's what it is. If you play, we'll think about it.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy's like,
see,
nah.
I think Pat's not thinking about it. Pat's not giving that man a, nah. The only 36-year-olds that are getting maxes these days are,
LeBron.
Well, there's a lot.
Yeah, LeBron.
KD, LeBron, yeah. Steph.
Yeah, but I saw it so funny. Like, the Heat are clearing cap space to go after Luka.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
All right.
Bring your sunscreen.
Yeah.
All right. First hour of the show is brought to you.
He does like he burns.
Oh, it burns easy. Real easy. Brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadlyBuys.com. We'll come back, tell you what's trending here on a Tuesday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Rebound taken there by DeAndre Hunter. A minute and a half to go. DeAndre up on the right wing. Stops and shoots a three. He's got it. DeAndre Hunter knocks down a three. He's got 33 points, and the Hawks have cut it to 6. It's 98-92.
When do you get a bang?
What do you got to do to get a bang around here? Maybe have to have the lead.
Yeah.
I guess if you would have hit a three, that would have given him the lead.
Right.
And they, man, that's the thing.
The Timberwolves
were at 98 points, it seemed like, for 10 minutes. Like, it was like 98-89. For the longest time, the Hawks missed like 6 straight threes. Like, man, if they just hit half those, they'd be right in it right now.
Yes.
But unfortunately, DeAndre Hunter played great last night, 35 points, career high, off the bench, just really playing excellent basketball this year. Problem is, like, all the other threes were taken by like Keaton Wallace and Veet Krejci and stuff. And those guys are nice players,
okay,
but you don't want them taking like crunch time threes in close games, and you know, you get it.
This is a weird, because I don't know a lot of the players because they're not household names and things like that. But I was like, who the hell is eight? And every time I see him out there on the floor, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Number eight.
Oh, yeah, David Roddy.
Yeah, like, who the hell is this guy? Where'd he come from? You know?
Been around. He was on the team last year. He didn't play much.
I know. That's why, yeah, I'm like, they got to be banged up at this. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's make a show. I'm like, is he the rotational guy?
Yeah. You see Dominic Barlow out there playing.
Like, who the
Mo Gay's out there taking 6 threes.
Now, I loved his game. His energy yesterday was great.
Sure.
The way he was hustling it down the floor, Andy. The dunk he had.
Do you see what happened? Yes. Something fell off the scoreboard, like off the Jumbotron.
No.
Him and Rudy Gobert were walking. It must have been at the end of a quarter. Maybe it was a timeout or whatever. Mo Gay and Rudy Gobert kind of crisscrossed paths. And something fell from the ceiling, from the Jumbotron. And it almost hit Mo Gay. It almost hit him in the head. I guess they deemed the thing safe after that.
Oh, no.
It's like, wait a minute.
No, stop falling from the scoreboard. No.
What do we do? We're not paying our... paying our utilities over there in Minnesota? I was at a Monday Night Football game years ago when the Seahawks, I don't know who they played, might have been the Packers, something like that. But it was when that Skycam was new, remember?
Yes.
When they first did the Skycam?
Yes.
And it fell, in between plays. And it damn near hit Matt Hasselbeck in the head.
Dude, I'm going to tell you something right now. That was the weirdest thing ever.
When they got it, when they instituted it?
Yes.
Right, because that came to be when you were in the league, right?
Yes, you're playing, you're like in action, and now you just see this object go over your damn head. It's like, what the hell? It was the weirdest damn thing
ever. It seems like it would be.
It really, really was, dude. You're literally... like going and running a play, and you just feel this go over your damn head.
There was a in the Kingdome, which was a dump, but it was our dump.
Yes,
A tile fell off the
ceiling. I remember that happened.
Yeah, luckily it wasn't during a game. But then the sad thing is, somebody went up there to try to fix it, and he fell, and he died.
Oh,
and the Kingdome was then haunted. Haunted by the ghost of the utility.
Now, where is that? Where was the Kingdome? Because I didn't play in the Kingdome. I always played in the new stadium.
Yeah,
or whatever. Where was that? Because I love that area where the railroad track is and was it Invesco?
It was Safeco. Now it's T-Mobile.
Safeco, where the baseball stadium, that stadium is. That's such a cool area right there. Was the Kingdome right there?
The Kingdome was literally right where the Seahawks football stadium is.
Right now, okay.
So for a couple of years, and you might have played against them when they played at Husky Stadium.
I didn't play there.
You never played at Washington?
They came wherever I was.
Okay, got it. So, yeah, they played at Husky Stadium for a couple of years while they tore it down.
Right.
And then they built what is now called... Lumen? It was CenturyLink. It's been a million different names. I don't, we don't have any obligation to remember these companies' names.
It's one of the coolest places to play a game at.
Yeah, it's a great stadium.
It really is.
It's a great stadium.
It's one of the coolest places to play.
But it's haunted.
But, I mean, hey.
The ground is haunted.
Obviously not. They won a Super Bowl.
Not there. New York. No, I know. All right. Anyway, the Hawks lose last night. That's 5 in a row. They are 0-5 now with Onyeka Okongwu in the starting lineup.
We're not going to do that.
Well, we're not, because it's not his fault. Who's he playing with? Hopefully some guys come back and are healthy tonight. But, they got the Rockets in town. And if you didn't know, the Rockets are really good. They beat the Celtics in Boston last night, 114-112. And they got young... like scrappy, defensive-minded dudes.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Hawks have some guys on the floor tonight, because if not, tonight could get a little bit rough. I guess the good news is both teams are on the second half of road back-to-backs. So both teams played last night and had to travel.
Yeah.
If there's any good, and the Rockets were in a dogfight against the Celtics last night.
Kid hit a shot at the buzzer right before yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was a great basketball.
It was a really good game.
Klay Thompson hit 7 threes in the first quarter last night, too.
Yes.
It was pretty fun.
20. Like,
always fun to see him sort of dust it off. Doesn't happen often.
Doesn't happen often, but when it does, you know, watching him go out there and play, man, because he looks just so unhappy.
Yep.
Because he does not want to be in Dallas.
Well, then it's just like, even when he has a great game like that and they ask about it afterwards, he's like, yeah, nice to see. I still have a little greatness in me.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, dude. He's so droopy.
He's so sad.
He's so sad being there.
Just in general, he's just like, man, I used to be so good, and now he's still really good. He's not as good as he was.
I want
to
be where I'm,
he wants to be with Steph.
I want to ride my boat to work.
He misses boat into work. He misses Steph and Draymond and all those guys.
I want to ride my boat to work.
Yeah, no, it's hard. All right, here's Jeff Ulbrich. talking about how things have changed from the last time he was a member of the Falcons coaching staff.
In every way humanly possible, if that's possible. It starts with my ability to really build the defensive roster and the process in which you do that. Like when I left this building, I thought I knew, and I wasn't close, you know. So learned a lot regarding that. Learned a lot regarding scheme, regarding just more answers for the players. In all honesty, I felt like I got a PhD in education in defensive football from Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Saleh.
Which I love. I love that quote.
Obviously, he's going back home, Robert Saleh, going back to be the DC. And you could talk about scheme and everything like that. Robert Saleh had dudes.
That's the difference.
Jeff Albrecht was they had one of the best defenses in ball when he was the coordinator for the New York Jets. They had dudes, you know, and I love what he said yesterday, but it's absolutely correct. I mean, I can pick the perfect scheme or whatever, but I'm not no miracle worker. I need guys that can go out there and get it done, and that is not something that he has a lot of personnel right now.
Right.
How this defense or this defensive side of the ball is currently constructed. So their biggest thing is they have got to, like you said, I got to go back and watch everything, know what I want to do, and know that I need players that can get it done what I want to do. And it starts, first of all, I got to figure out on this roster who is here that can do what I need them to do.
Yeah, who do I like that we can keep, that we can build around and all that? And then what do we need to try to go out and get in free agency in the draft? And hopefully they're able to do that. But they have to all know that, right? I hope that maybe, because he talks about being completely different and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you come back after having worked with Robert Saleh with like a real fire to convince them that you need to do that. Like we need to be spending these priority draft picks and money and priority assets on the defensive side of the football. Because here's the thing that is true about the last time he was here and hopefully is different about this time is they didn't have good defenses.
No.
Like, I know Raheem and Ulbricht and all these guys were a part of the defensive staff between 15 and 20 when they were here. In that span, they were 23rd in points allowed, 29th in yards per play, 30th in defensive efficiency, 31st in sack rate. Like, they were not good at defense.
No.
So hopefully everything's different, like he said.
Well, I think
including that.
The biggest thing when you look at teams that, well, you say it's 23rd. Well, it's better than it was. They were 30th. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they were 24th this year, so
you know
they were 23rd then. So that would be an improvement.
So you look at it from that standpoint like that, you know, is that they – improved. I mean, they were getting sacks as later on this season because they changed up a lot of things in the secondary that allowed them, you know, to have the quarterback hold it. You didn't let the quarterback just sit there and have free reigns. It goes back to a lot with them, what Ulbricht said yesterday about, you know, what we would call, and this is back when I played, when you play a team like Seattle, well, we got to play all our cover three beaters, or we got to play our cover two beaters, or our Tampa two beaters, our quarters beater, all those different things. And now it's went away from that. Well, that's what they did a lot to start the season with the Falcons. They played two high safeties,
right.
Played zones, played soft cushion underneath it.
And didn't adjust at all when it wasn't working.
And didn't adjust at all when it wasn't working. And so you were able to see all those middle of the field, big digs, all those things complete against the Falcons because of the simple fact is what they were doing. They didn't want to give anything over top. You remember, that was the whole thing.
Yep.
We don't want to give up big plays. We're going to keep everything in front of us. Well, a 20-yard dig is in front of you, but you know what it is? That's 20 yards. That's getting them closer to the damn end zone.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good you didn't give up a touchdown on the play, but you did just give up a first down.
Yes.
And now they're going to run it again.
Yes.
I mean, into the bye week, and I don't
know. And that was time of possession. Do you remember that? Offense were holding the ball.
It was that time of possession was totally skewed in the direction of the opposition. And the opposition quarterbacks that the Falcons faced in the first 11 games of the season led the NFL in completion percentage by like 4%.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it was that much easier to pass against the Falcons than it was against everyone else in the league. And that's not just because the pass rush couldn't get there. It's because of the way they were playing coverage, too. So
it's exactly the way they were playing coverage. And so you got to find guys. First thing he has to do is eliminate guys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You got to start eliminating guys and getting some spots there. And then hopefully, and we always talk about the growth of a young player. You know, it's all about development, you know. And he comes from a place where if you talk to anybody that was with Robert Saleh in San Francisco, that was his biggest thing. It was talk about development. Like, you got horses already. But can you develop them to be even better? And he did a great job of that.
What do you? We turn a horse into a thoroughbred.
A thoroughbred.
That's
punk.
What we need. Some thoroughbred.
Thoroughbred.
Some war daddies.
Them dudes with them big chest horses.
We'll talk about the other way to do that too. Is draft good guys at about 12:20 today? Yeah. I heard a clip yesterday from a WIP where Phil or Hugh works. It wasn't his show, but they went through the last four drafts that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
First three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
It made me want to puke.
Yep.
Just all guys we wanted.
Yep.
Is all guys we wanted. None of the guys we took. They're just beautifully drafted by Philadelphia. And lo and behold, they're in the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. All right, Mike Conte is going to join us next. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get a little bit back more into what we heard from Jeff Ulbrich yesterday. Thanks again to him for spending some time with us top of the noon hour. If you missed the interview, check it out. Andy and Randy podcast page. 92.9thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page. This hour brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast at PADLYBuys.com. And Mike Conte joins us, as he always does on Tuesdays at this time. 24 hours ago, Mike was all by himself. Bo was with him as well, but Mike was here holding down the fort. How are you, Mike?
Glad it worked out.
Yeah, sounded good to me.
Glad we got you back. And
I was driving down the road,
safely.
Driving down the road, 10-2 in the right lane, listening to you talk about me driving.
Man, he was
10-2 in the right lane.
And
I was like, he's got that right.
But that's on brand for you, right?
Mike is so on brand because this is. We've left places at the same time, but I don't think we've ever been on a highway at the same time.
Mm.
And Andy got to the, you know, the way you and you leave a flowery branch, you get on the highway. He turned the light before me, went through two lights, got on the freeway. I still just made the right. So there he is. I'm like, okay, I'm just riding along, listening to you. And next, you know, there's Andy. I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, you're just going to walk me
and
down.
I kept saying, I was like, should I pass him? And if I pass him, should I wave? I think that was the biggest thing. Should I wave to Andy while I'm passing?
Well, the thing is,
while I'm flying past him.
85 is so congested.
You give me like a Tyreek Hill
95. Yes, it's not 85.
Yeah, that's only a two-lane.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I didn't notice that you were there until you were a little past me because I saw all the Georgia stickers. And I was like, oh, that was Randy.
But the funny thing is,
I'll see him in about 50 miles.
Randy doesn't drive like Mike Bell.
No,
like,
Randy's not a crazy driver,
you
no.
Mike might go a couple miles over the limit.
I was going 72, Mike.
And that's a 70.
Yes.
A 70.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is how, but no, I flew past him. Though.
Hey, man. No, I was probably about 68.
Well, it's funny. As we were planning how we were going to do the Ulbrich thing, Bo and I were talking. I said, okay, there is no doubt that Abe and Randy will be here before 12 noon. We'll have no problem with that. I have strong doubts about Randy getting here, or Andy. Getting here before 12 noon because of the way he drives. It was probably, actually, it really was closer than I thought. I think by the time you got in here, Randy, and sat down, Andy was here within 10 minutes.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, you also parked more aggressively than you usually park.
Yeah, I parked in the lot. But actually, that probably did me a disservice because it was so full, I had to park all the way in the basement.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, look, we drove for an hour, right?
Yep.
It's math. This is a fun little math exercise for everybody. Randy drives about 8 to 10 miles an hour faster than I do. We drove for an hour. He got here 10 minutes before I did.
Yeah.
That's what
like
it is.
One of those word problems they give you on the SAT.
Abe must drive 15 to 20 miles an hour faster than me because he was like, I was on the highway and Mike was like, Abe's here. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Abe has connections to the court system, though.
That's
like,
true.
He can
That's
probably
true.
Get a ticket knocked out.
No Abe's a made man. That's a good point.
That's what it is.
But I was like, I was pulling into the parking lot when you said Randy's here. I was like, all right, good. I didn't get beat by that bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I felt good about that. But like, Abe, good Lord.
Yeah.
That Hyundai. Yeah, that thing flying down 985, man.
It's the, what do they call it, the ergonomics, you know, the lack of wind resistance. Because you drive a truck, don't you, Randy? And you're kind of
like in the
boxier.
Middle. Yeah, we got some, what do you call it, like a crossover?
Yeah.
Something like that.
A little boxier.
Yeah.
You know, Abe, just like the way he runs, you know, in his road racing
runs
and
fast.
Everything like that.
Please stop.
He just runs fast.
He's a speed demon. He's got a need for speed.
So, Mike, all right. So, Mike, we were in up at Fly. Oh, not Fly. We were up at Atlanta United. And I got a question for you because we did talk to Garth.
Great interview,
by the way. He talked about, you know, as far as adding the DPs. Now, this is around the time where we kind of figured they would start happening.
So,
because of the window and
right,
all
you
that
guys
stuff.
Talked to him last Thursday.
Yes.
Right.
5 days ago, right?
Yes.
What did he say last Thursday? Next 10 days.
Right. He did.
Okay, so he's got five more.
Gave himself a big window.
Yeah.
Smart.
Well, but the window.
But that's literally what it is.
Depends on February 3rd being the window closing in Europe.
Right.
And I thought his explanation was really good. Everything gets done at the last minute in Europe because you are waiting until quite the last minute to make decisions because you're always hoping a better bid is going right. to come in from a more desperate team at the last minute. Now, there are two guys that they've been widely reported to be linked to for these two designated player spots. I think one, whose name might rhyme with Shalmarone, looks really, really good right now. Okay, now nothing's been announced yet, but all the reports are out there, and these are by good people. That looks really good. So I have no worry about that getting done in the next 5 days. The other one gets interesting. There's been a lot of reports linking Atlanta United to this striker from Middlesbrough who got hurt last Saturday.
Oh,
in a game for Middlesbrough. Yeah.
Oh, no.
He left the game like 9 minutes in with some kind of injury.
Oh.
So now.
Interesting.
And again, I just want to point out that's not me officially saying anything. This is just me conveying
just information.
What's being reported.
Yeah.
So now that gets a little more tricky.
What's his name, by the way? Kind of hard to say, right?
Yeah. Well, okay.
Latte Laugh, something like that?
Yeah. Can someone else say Laugh? It? Because I'm not allowed to.
Oh, okay. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Laugh is his last name?
It's a double last name. Abe, you know it. Can you tell Andy, please?
Latte Laugh.
Yes.
It's kind of fun to say. Sounds like a coffee drink.
I'm not trying to be weird. I just, like...
Because I work for the team,
I want to be really
careful. Tampering and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I wouldn't be tampering. Oh. It's just, I want to be super careful.
Okay.
But yeah, that's how it's pronounced.
You say what his name rhymes with?
Like he did.
Okay, I know.
Yeah.
Got it.
I feel really good about that one.
Good.
So I don't think anyone's going to tap me on the shoulder and be like, hey, you know, you're giving away some stuff on that one. The reporting is widely out there. And I think people are really excited about
it.
Yes. And look. This is going to be a work in progress based on what I saw on Saturday. Mm. I mean, they got beat by a bunch of trialists for a minor league team. But I also think that fitness was a huge part of that story. And what you saw in both halves of that match, the groups that were playing, they played one group in the first half, one group in the second half. After about 30 minutes, their legs started to go. So I'm not like super alarmed by what I saw, but you know, it gives Ronnie Dialis something that will, you know, allow him now to get their attention. I mean, you're not going to take a lot of pride in having that happen. You play Birmingham Legion on Saturday. You know, maybe now things just ratchet up a little bit in terms of intensity in this training camp. But what you saw on Saturday is by no means like the final lineup that they're going to be playing on February 22nd against Montreal. Probably far from it.
Mike Conte hanging out with us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, getting the update on where things are with Atlanta United and trying to add a couple DPs. What about the Hawks? I mean, obviously a tough one last night, missing a ton of starters.
Yep.
I honestly thought they gave a pretty good effort. I
thought they played great last night.
Yeah, given what the roster looked like. But what do we know about – I mean, we can go guy by guy
because
they're missing a ton of important guys.
But let's go through it.
What do we know about the health
of these guys? Jalen Johnson, I think there's real concern.
Yeah.
That is a bad one.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're not coming out with any kind of timeline probably backs that up. The information I got when the injury happened was that there was major concern about that being a long-term injury.
Bam.
Trey, I think that's no big deal. We'll get an injury report, I think, at 1 o'clock for tonight's game. I wouldn't be surprised if Trey was questionable or better to play tonight. Larry Nance banged his hand on that backboard Saturday.
The same hand that he already had hurt.
Yeah, but talking to Steve last night during the pregame show, it sounded like they weren't super concerned about that either. Maybe you get him back tonight. You did get Rizochet back. I thought, actually, Rizochet played pretty well last night, pretty good on the glass. You got Hunter back from the illness, and he was great. Bogey, that's a weird one. Okay, you only got 10 guys. You're calling up guys from College Park. Muhammad Gay is playing. Bogey's with you.
But he's not playing.
Yeah, and he's not on the injury report. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
What I was told was he wasn't hurt. It was a did not dress but with team situation. So
The deadline's coming up, and I was that was
what a coinkydink.
And that was going to be my question to you, Mike.
That would make a lot of sense
because of how this team is falling back, mm-hmm. obviously, with the you know five-game losing streak. If it was a five-game winning streak, do you think the approach would be different as far as if Bogey played last night, if certain things happened?
Maybe not, but I think the Jalen Johnson injury dictates where they go from here now. Okay. Yeah. Because if Jalen Johnson's going to be out for weeks or longer, you might not want to be buyers at that point. Gotcha. You might have to reevaluate and really take a realistic look at where you are as a team, what you can realistically get from an asset standpoint. It's really interesting. Since they made the move to put Okongwu in the starting lineup, Clint Capella now
is playing well.
Thriving in that role off the bench, which I think...
And they've lost every game.
True.
Yeah.
But I think that may reaffirm that Onyeka was benefiting more from matchups than maybe, you know, he had surpassed Clint in any kind of way. But Clint was the guy. Everyone's like, oh, you got to trade him. Well, I don't know. He had, what, 15 and 13 last night or something? I'm not sure. So, I mean, the guy who's really, really struggling right now is Bogey. I mean, he had a better game Thursday against Toronto, but the four games prior to that, he was shooting 16% from the floor, 14% from three, and then he went out. I thought he was, I think, 1-for-12 on Saturday. So something's going on there. Bogey's really, really struggling. And when you're this shorthanded, it's all hands on deck. I mean, whoever can give you any kind of solid contribution's got to give it to you. You can't afford to have players going 1-for-12 in this situation right now. So to answer your question, I think the strategy probably pivots now. And unless they get some really unexpectedly good news on Jalen Johnson, and it stinks because a week or so ago, you're looking at this team six in the East, one game out of fourth,
right,
and thinking, okay, you can be buyers and you can be really aggressive and you can turn the season into something. Now, not only have you slid to ninth, not only are you, what, four games under 500 now or two games under 500?
22 and 24.
They're probably not going to slide out of the top 10. I don't think Philadelphia or any of those teams is going to do enough to get you. But – oh, boy, you look at the schedule. Houston second in the West. Cleveland, you've beaten them twice somehow, but they have the best record in the league. Indiana fifth in the East. Detroit, who just beat you at home. You play all those teams on the road. You come back and play Wemby. Then you got to play Milwaukee. Then you got to play the Knicks again, all before the All-Star break.
Pretty rough one.
Yeah, especially as shorthanded as you are. Like, I just cross my fingers this doesn't go really sideways really fast. And I think Andy hit on something. The performance you got last night was encouraging. That was a game. That was a six-point game in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Hawks had absolutely chances to win that game. So, yeah, I'm not, like, super impressed with Minnesota. They have some weird kind of chemistry things going on right now. But still, that's a statement. Like, all right, all these guys are out.
Well, they won one a couple weeks ago. Remember
Chicago.
Keaton Wallace and Daquan Plowden and all those guys. Yeah. Like, that was a really impressive win.
Now, honestly,
given who they were missing.
Did you think that was kind of a once in a blue moon type situation?
Raises my hand, yes.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, the performances from the guys you got, but I think it sort of last night speaks to that, too, is like, even when they don't have all their guys, like, the focus and effort is still there.
Absolutely.
Which is great.
Testament to Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, that's sort of
he's got that team locked in. And whatever they're doing in College Park, whatever they are doing in College Park, I wish I knew the name of their coach off the top of my head.
But you're not going to win enough games on culture and effort with this group in order to stay, which is really too bad because in that brief period of time when you had your full complement of players, you were beating good teams. Like, you were playing really good basketball. You looked like maybe what we thought this team could be, and then maybe at the deadline you would do something to supplement the roster.
And you only
Jalen Johnson's not going to play.
You only have so many games left against the Wizards and the Hornets and I was going to say the Raptors. You know, the Raptors have won,
three.
I think, six of their last seven now.
I was going to say they've won three road games all year.
Two in Atlanta.
And two of them just happened.
Now, overall, home and road, I think they've won six of their last seven.
All right.
Like, now, that's just a bad break.
Yes.
Like, when you run into a team like that that has not been very good and suddenly they get boiling hot and it just so happens it's while they're playing you, that's a bad break. But I think the complexion of everything the Hawks are going to do until February 6th really depends on whatever the prognosis is on Jalen Johnson. And it did not sound good from what I was initially told last Thursday.
Well, the fact that we haven't heard anything other than we'll evaluate when we can.
They haven't even told you specifically what the injury is.
Or when they're going to evaluate him. Like, it's just...
Well, yeah, I think they said something like they're continuing to evaluate. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that sounds like they're trying some different surgeons to maybe get a... Or surgeons.
Yeah.
Doctors to see maybe a prognosis would be different somewhere.
All right, Mike.
Appreciate you, Mike.
All right, guys.
Feels like a good time to let you know you can come hang out with 92.9 The Game, me and Michelob Ultra, for an Atlanta Hawks watch party as they take on the Pacers on Saturday, February 1st. That's this Saturday at 4:30 at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. That's a home game for me. Come hang out with the Hawks dancers, flight crew, enter to win a gift card to the Hawks shop and other prizes. The first 100 fans, listen closely to this one. The first 100 fans get a free Michelob Ultra. Come on. Free beer? First 100 fans?
Get your drink out.
Come on. Come on down. That's Saturday, February 1st at 4:30 at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna, sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Must be 21 or older. Please drink responsibly. For more info, visit Hawks.com/bar network. We'll be right back with an NFL No Huddle. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.